welcome to another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the American Outlaw platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Bringing Heather back because last night we had a rather spirited debate. We're talking about Democrats. And the subject was, are Democrats ready to dump or ready to vote conservative because of the progressive Democrats that are in the party that are in favor of all or have all these wacky ideas that really doesn't make any sense? And I think the title was, have more traditional Dems had it with the party's radical arm? I want to say they have. Because the Democrats today, Heather, they're not the Democrats of the baby boomers. They're not the Democrats of people's grandparents. I, for one, I spoke about my family, my mom, who's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to finances, she's very conservative. Economically, she's conservative. More liberal when mm-hmm. it comes to certain social issues. Now, she's not going to mm-hmm. run out and wave the LGBTQ flag. She's completely against that, but she feels that we should love everyone. But mm-hmm. she's not that the Democrat Party that we see now, she doesn't recognize the party. So the question mm-hmm. that we proposed last night is that, will Democrats like my mom and others, when it's time to vote in November, are they going to turn their backs on the party and say, enough is enough, we've had it. We can't continue down this line because, in essence, they're destroying democracy. They're destroying their own party with these far-fetched mm-hmm. ideas, putting everyone first except for Americans, allowing illegal yeah. aliens to come in and do whatever they want to do. They want to call them undocumented. And interestingly enough, I had a conversation with someone, and this is just not the first time this has come up, but they were talking about shame and guilt. And the person said, you know, mm-hmm. what's happening right now is that we need to bring back shame. We need to bring back embarrassment. Because those are two terms that have just like, they're two terms that have just like gone out the door. Because people do things now without, they do it and they're mm-hmm. not embarrassed by it. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I always learn there's a distinction between guilt and shame. That guilt is a healthy reaction to having done something wrong and having a conscience. Whereas shame tends to be to shame someone, I tend to think of as a toxic kind of thing. It's like saying you are inherently bad, not that what you did is bad and that you have to account for it and atone for it and learn from it, but that you, in fact, but I mean, maybe I'm getting a bit into the weeds there, Rob. I think I understand what your friend is saying, that there's just less respect for life, for family, for law and order, for civilization, for all these beautiful values that our ancestors worked hard to build this country up, that there's an entitlement and a, you know, including among a lot of people who accuse everybody else of being entitled, but there's that sense of everybody, you know, the world's against me, so, you know, I can do what I want, you know. And I think we see that across, you know, a lot of different communities. And I do think, I mean, not to say it's all going to hell in a handbasket. There are some great young people entering our military. So you don't want to overgeneralize, but I do think that this generation is just very, very sanctimonious, very self-righteous, you know, willing to dish it out in terms of criticism, condemnation, political violence, but they can't take it. I think there's a lot of that. I wish I could sound more optimistic, but yeah.
Well, when I say shame, it's not shame to shame someone, but be ashamed of your own actions, something that you did almost to the point of being embarrassed by it, saying something that you shouldn't mm-hmm. say, that everyone looks at you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is very embarrassing. I'm shameful of the acts that I just committed. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if in some instances it were to come back, people wouldn't be so quick to act out and say the things that they're saying or do the things that they're doing, but they're doing them now without any consequences, and they're celebrated. You look at the protests that we see with people against Israel. At one point, people would like hide in shame and say, well, I'm not going to say that because that's wrong. Now it's openly, I don't care. I don't care if you see me. I'm going to go out and I'm going to speak because it's free speech. Now they have the free speech, but if you want to try to shut them down, oh, you can't take away my free speech, then they would want to silence your free speech. So that's what I mean when I say shame. And I don't know if that were to come back, I think that people, there would be a degree of respect, a degree of humility that we just don't have. Another case in point, look at abortion. People are like bragging that, oh, I had an abortion. At one point, that was between you and your family or whomever, or you didn't tell anyone. Now it's okay to tell the world that I had an abortion. You had one TV actress saying, I wish I had had an abortion. Celebrating these things that that's private. Now, I'm not saying you should be ashamed, but it's like, I did this and I don't want anyone else to know. You have some of our representatives on the Hill, Jaya Paul, Cori Bush, bragging that they had an abortion. And it shouldn't be at that level.
The unborn child. I mean, that's just totally callous. I mean, I think that, there are some very hard situations on the extremes where there's terrible, terrible, fetal abnormality or something that's truly incompatible with life or that's going to take the life of the mother or some little girl is raped. I mean, these extreme situations, I believe there should be allowance and can't be absolutist. However, I mean, to brag about it, to make light of it, is very disturbing because the truth is we don't really know when life begins and life is sacred and whether this is a full human being or not, it's the beginning of life. And to brag about something like that, you wouldn't brag about, I mean, some people do brag about, killing an animal or something, but I mean, it's, even if you're doing it, and you have to do it, it's not really something to be like woohoo over. I mean, it's just, it's callous and it's inhumane to act like that.
I would say that life begins at inception. There is no in between for me. That's when life begins. And I know that there's a lot of people quibble about it, but for me, that's when it begins. Mm-hmm. And to say that, and to see Democrats who see, we can go backwards and forth as to when it does, but then to try to make it as if though it does not, or to try to demonize you for having that belief just to prove their point, it just goes back to, as I was saying, as I opened up saying, this new Democrat Party, the new members in the party, they have hijacked the principles of democracy. They have hijacked the principles of a party that was supposed to respect life, that was supposed to appreciate life. They don't anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if though they're happy about it. Now enter the next part of the conversation, Robert F. Kennedy, as we were saying before we went on the air, it seems as if though he's trying to bring back civility, he, and of all people, John Fetterman. Now, I would not ever vote for either individual. I know a lot of people, when Robert F. Kennedy said that he was going to run for the presidency, a lot of people were saying that maybe Trump should have him as a vice president. And I would say to those people, you're not true conservatives because this guy is still a Democrat. And do you understand what you're saying? Just imagine if Trump were to put him on the ticket. When Trump's term is over, this guy becomes the president. Or this guy starts running, he has a head start. So why people would even think that, I don't know. But back to civility and the Democrat Party. I think that these two men, of all people, seem to be trying to bring back that civility. You would think that the older Democrats in the Democrat Party would try to do it, but they're not. They're just as radical as the young people. Look at Maxine Waters. Look at Nancy Pelosi. They're just as radical, if not more radical, than the younger generation. Even Joe Biden. Extremely radical.
Well, I think he pretends to be radical, but who knows? He's just, wanting to stay in there and hang on, you know, to the last breath. And I don't know that he believes all this extreme stuff, but who knows? Who cares?
I doubt he knows.
Yeah, it's a good point. Even God isn't sure, right? What do you know?
But when you do look at the way things are going, you look at the trajectory of the presidential race, and you look at the people, the politicians that are involved, I see now what people have been saying for some time, that these politicians are only self-serving, and definitely the stock of politicians that we have now are just self-serving, and they will do or say anything just to garner attention. Never would we ever think that we would have sitting in the House representatives that speak out so vociferously against Israel, speak out so vociferously against our own country. And I think in some cases, they want to see the demise of our country. Those are the Democrats that I think are turning away the true Democrats. And I hope it's such that election time, as I said last night, that they will look at this and say, we've had it. You see the Republicans that are saying that they've had it, and they're more than happy to come out for, I don't know, whatever reason, and speak against Trump, when the only thing Trump is trying to do is save America. Why are you doing this? Well, we don't like his tweets. It's like, okay, so you would rather turn the country over to a radical like Joe Biden, as opposed to support a person whose policies I would think that you closely align with? Or could it be that you don't, and you're just saying it just to say it? Because I would think Republicans would say, well, we don't like this or that, but we respect the policies, we're going to support him. Whereas Democrats, I don't care how radical the person is, how far out there, you don't hear them saying anything against them. They walk lock and step. We're going to support our candidate because we want to win. And therein lies the danger, Heather. There is the danger, because Democrats will support each other. They'll have their disagreements, but not a one will say, I am going to support or vote for Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to vote for Trump. You don't hear that. Mm-hmm. But on the Republican side, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to vote. Look at Mike Pence. I can't support him. You can't support him. Why? Why can't you support him? And then he'll go to this phony baloney insurrection. I'm like, come on, Mike, you got to do better. And there's so many other so-called Republicans. I'm thinking, you guys have really got to do better. You got to do better. Because you're showing who you really are. You're not necessarily conservatives. You want to think you are. You want to say that you are. Mm-hmm. But when you have the opportunity to further the policies of conservatism, to keep the country together, you turn your back knowing that that could possibly impact independents who would probably not vote or support Joe Biden. And I don't know how anyone with level-minded thinking person could support any of the policies that Joe Biden and his party are putting up there. These are parties that will destroy the country. These are parties that are policies that are against who we are as Americans, who we are as human beings, who we are when we're saying we're trying to bring people together. You talk about we support women and you're putting men over women. You say we want to protect our children and you're allowing our children to go in and mutilate themselves. So are you telling me, Mike Pence, that you're okay with that? And all of you other Republicans who are saying that we can't vote for Trump because of Jan 6 or because of some of the things that he says or the tweets. I'm like, are you serious? Because if that's your reason, then I think that you're Democrats. I think that you're one of the progressive, wild-thinking Democrats. Because how could you, Heather? What do you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Democrats they have taken a hard turn toward insanity. And, you know, I mean, whoever's supporting them basically as well. I mean, I don't know what these moderate Democrats are going to do. I you know, they seem to, you always kind of hope that they'll cross over. That happened, you know, in 1980 for Ronald Reagan. It happened in in 2016 for Trump to some degree. But I just feel we know the extremes have gotten extremer and more extreme. I mean, I don't talk to very many Democrats who are willing, although you'd think, I mean, as the country crumbles around us, I mean, that may be a slight exaggeration, but not much, you know, it's like the hordes and the masses are coming over the border. You got drugs and crime in every city, everything locked down in every drugstore. You got, you know, murder and mayhem and, you know, crazy inflation, total stalemate with this Russia-Ukraine thing, which you and I have discussed, Rob, from the start, made no logical sense that I could see. And, you know, you have Israel, you know, our one true solid, well, I mean, we have some other allies in the Middle East, but, you know, in terms of who really, really shares our values most, you know, we're only going to support them so much because we care about the international opinion, and we know how Hamas has manipulated international opinion, and this is what Biden cares about. And you know, so the only way I can imagine anyone voting for any of this, like I've said, much as I'm no fan of abortion, I respect our pro-life community, and I think that is the higher moral position. However, I just, as a pragmatist, I think that the, you know, state of things in the country is such that I think that is always under sort of emphasized as a factor. It's just my opinion. I think that really is a factor. I think nobody wants to hurt or alienate our wonderful evangelical and religious communities, and I understand that because I love them and I love their values, but I do think that that's a bigger factor than Republicans want to acknowledge in why we keep losing elections, because I think that the Democrats really don't offer much of anything other than handouts, okay, and a position on abortion that's more in sync with most Americans. Most of these women are very spooked on that, Rob. I mean, every conversation I have with the young women and even some of the old women, you know, they just, you know, they nobody really expected. I mean, they were screaming about Roe v. Wade's going to get overturned for 40 years. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't think it was. I was surprised that it happened. And, you know, some of these states have outlawed it or outlawed it after 6 weeks. And now they're, you know, going after IVF, which I don't even disagree with the argument that's being made. I mean, if I were to pursue IVF, that's how I would ideally like to do it. One embryo at a time. I think that is most respectful of life. However, it is extremely, extraordinarily expensive and time consuming to proceed that way. And, you know, it's a wonderful way to do it if you can afford it, but almost nobody can afford something like that. And so I just think a lot of people are going to say, you know, there's a lot of young women in the world who are scared of having an unwanted pregnancy, a lot of older women in the world trying to get pregnant through IVF, including in some of our religious communities. And, you know, I mean, that's a strong, you know, I'm not even against the position. I think it's a beautiful, life-affirming, you know, approach, but I think that I don't think people are going to vote for it. I think there are a lot of people we're going to lose, you know, with that. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, we're up against a commercial break, and we'll pick this up, and because I do have my thoughts about the whole abortion issue. You're listening to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform, and my special co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
And we're back for the second half of After Dark. And when we went to break, we were talking about IVF. Is it IVF? I really don't know a lot about it, but and abortion. I'll say this about abortion. I do believe that the Democrats have managed to, as they've always done so successfully, change the narrative to meet their expectations or to make people comfortable with their thought process. I think I will say this, that Nikki Haley had the best response when it came to abortion. And I also think that Donald Trump, I think that it is a personal issue. Abortion has not been, as some people think, outlawed. States have placed limitations on it. And I remember Bill Clinton saying once that abortion should be few but safe. I think the way the Democrats are viewing it is that there should be abortion on demand. I think Republicans don't have a good position. They can't explain their position on it. And I think the position is, this is between you and your God. I don't like it. I don't support it. But again, this is between you and your God. And what the Supreme Court did, which I think was rightfully so, is that they sent it back to the states for the states to decide. Republicans find it very difficult to have that conversation. It's as if though they're embarrassed to stake out their position. But going back to what I said during the opening of the show about Democrats, the true Democrats, traditional Democrats, having been fed up with these progressive Democrats. Once upon a time, Democrats were in favor of life. They wanted to protect all life. They wanted to protect children. What changed? How was the media able to co-opt this entire narrative to get people to think that it's okay, we should have abortion on demand. We should be able to order abortion just like we're ordering a Big Mac at McDonald's. And that's just not the case. No one is saying that if you, by chance, if you're raped, there's incest, or the life of the mother is at risk, that we wouldn't consider, that we need to make certain that everyone is taken care of. But Republicans aren't good at explaining it, but and Democrats are.
But also, Rob, there's a growing number of people. I mean, in general, birth rates are down, but the one, you know, age group in which they're growing is people in their 40s. You know, a lot of people who have, you know, had a harder time finding the right mate, wanted to be financially secure. A lot of people doing IVF, you know, because they're emotionally and financially better in position to be parents, they feel, but it's harder, right? So you have a tremendous amount of that. And there's a lot of prenatal testing and screening. They do find abnormalities, you know, and so there's that whole complicated issue, which is that's a growing population of people who are going to be concerned about that, the right to terminate early, you know, if God forbid something's profoundly wrong, you know. No, I'm not talking about if some tiny thing, if somebody has a cleft palate or, you know what I mean, but there are such very tragic things where they can find that in utero an embryo has a terrible disease or has, you know, something very bad that would be bad for the child too, you know, I mean, these are very morally complex issues, but those really are issues that I think legitimately there's more than one moral argument to be made. And there are more and more people going to be facing those kinds of decisions because they're, you know, employing IVF. So I think that's where it gets difficult for the total absolutist pro-life position, because you're talking about not just, of course, the unborn child's rights and the mother's rights, but you're also talking about concern for the unborn child. And is it fair? You know, I mean, there are things that are not just disabilities, but diseases that are horrible suffering, something like that. You know, if you know ahead of time, I mean, I don't like abortion, but God forbid if I were faced with a situation like that, I can't say that I wouldn't want, you know, to have the right to, you know, and people who want to have that right want to handle things early, you know, before, you know, the baby would suffer, you know. So, I mean, there are some complexities here, and those things are becoming more common, you know, as society and technology advances. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think it's complicated, but I think that, you know, our party may have to show a little bit of sensitivity on some of these very delicate things. You know, on the other hand, listen, people have the right to their position, you know, and some people are pro-life and they're absolutely pro-life, and they would not consider terminating a pregnancy no matter what the circumstance, and that should be their right, I guess, you know. But I don't think it's something that everybody, you know, that most people are going to be gung-ho about, you know, severely regulating. I think they're going to say that should be, you know, maybe, you know, early on. The good news about that, and I do know a little bit about it, is that they can tell a lot earlier and earlier than they used to be able to. So, but, you know, anyway, not to get into a whole other topic, the downside of that is sometimes you have false positives and things like that, you know, and so it's complicated. And then you have, you know, embryos and fetuses that have an abnormality, but it's something that would be treatable if the baby is born. And, you know, you want to, that becomes a moral question too. You know, it's, but I'm talking about extreme situations. There are extreme situations where something is simply not viable, not treatable, you know. I mean, so you get my point. It's like, I think for us to take like a total hard line kind of comes across as bullheaded and out of touch.
Well, I think that we need to have more people like yourself out explaining it, or like Nikki Haley, even President Trump, who's explained his position on it. Now, I'm going to move on to the next topic, and that is the police officer who was killed by a criminal that here in New York City, they decided to let him go back on the streets to commit more crime. The officer's name was Detective Jonathan Diller, leaving behind his wife, young wife, and one-year-old son. Not too long ago, I think about a few years ago, we had Detective Jason Riviera and Wilbert Morera who were targeted and were slain. We see this happening almost on a daily, not only say the daily basis, but yearly basis. We see our police are under attack. And why? Well, you would have the left to say that police are bad people. There are rotten apples in every bag, but to go out and try to demonize a particular group because simply because they are supposed to uphold the law, to me, I find very strange when you cannot criticize a judge. How many people come out and say, oh, this judge is bad, and then everyone piles up on him? No. You look at President Trump right now, former President Trump, speaking out, which is, and rightfully so, because of free speech, calling out the judges that are hearing his cases. And now they want to slap gag orders on them. Oh, you can't talk about us. But the media can say whatever they want to say about you. They can prejudice a jury. We don't care. We're okay with that. What type of sense does that make? And the society that we live in. Why aren't other judges calling out these judges and saying, you got it wrong. And we've got to stop this. We need to stand up and say enough is enough. Okay, 2016, I mean, it left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth because a novice came up and beat out all these other candidates to become president. Okay, that was, the Constitution was designed that way. Our forefathers wanted that. They didn't want politicians coming in and serving, because we see what we get when we get politicians. Look at Barack Obama, look at Joe Biden. We're supposed to have regular people to come in and serve the people. But when they do so, we want to attack them. We want to make certain that they know that you better not do this again, and no one else better think about doing it again. Because if you do, we're going to silence you. If you do, we're going to come after you. What type of justice is that? What type of democracy is that, whereby we want to penalize those who are trying to uphold the law simply because one or two decided to behave erratically or errantly? What type of society are we? So you see this particular police officer, Detective Jonathan Diller, quiet as is kept. No one is out rallying behind him. No one's out saying that these guys were just bad guys. Why did they do it? They were thugs. If anything, we want to protect them. Is this a Democrat Party that we want? Is this a society that we want? I would like to think not, Heather. Because now we have a one-year-old who will never know his father other than read about his father, other than see what people are seeing, showing on TV. We'll never know his dad. And there are so many others that are the same way. And here's the thing that I'm forever reminded of. A majority of police officers in these big cities are minorities. But that's one of those quietest is kept. So you're putting their lives on the line when you're trying to demonize all the police officers. But we don't care, because we just want to demonize the ones who are white. We want to attack them. Mm-hmm. Is this the Democrat Party that we want? Because if it is, I don't want any part of it. No, and I'm not a Democrat, thank God. But this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Heather, I just can't, when you really think about it and you just break it down and you think what this party has become. And it's powerful in their beliefs, it's powerful, albeit they're wrong. But this is a Democrat Party that was formed years ago. Maybe they're showing us their true colors. Maybe they're showing us who they were all along. Mm-hmm. And maybe those people who've co-opted the movement, who've changed the movement and said, we're doing something different. Maybe we really see who they are, Heather. What do you say?
I think that the society has changed in so many ways. Of course, there's no constant except change, but it's been a very turbulent series of decades. So much has changed since the 50s and 60s when, you know, the Democrats were more the party of the working class and the, you know, the underdog, but not, you know, they were good, solid American citizens. They were patriotic. They were law abiding. They were generally supportive of community and religious institutions, and you know, they believed in social programs, but it wasn't like they were enabling total endless dependency and dysfunction. I mean, I think that all shifted like in the 60s with the Great Society, and then we had all the turbulent things that have happened from the assassination of JFK to the Vietnam War. You know, so much was really, and then the media, explosion of media, of visual broadcast media, social media. I guess even though we're in it, Rob, and we participate because we need to have our voices out there, you know, I think it's not overall been a net positive for the society. I think it's contributed to a lot of alienation and extremism and, but why these kids are so, you know, so many of them so confused about basic ethics, you know, whether it's the ones who are rallying to support a terrorist organization, you know, on the college, fanciest college campuses, or the ones in the inner cities who are, you know, smashing and grabbing, or, you know, I guess it just, it is a moral rot, I have to say. I think that you know, there's some great kids, you know, there's some great people, but this generation, you know, there's a lot that is not being done. Maybe they're just not getting guidance from their parents. Parents have become maybe in many cases more like buddies than people who command respect. All the government interference in people's lives, you know, I think the government and the universities probably bear some responsibility. I mean, on the one hand, you have governments creating dependency in poorer areas, and you know, you have governments creating all kinds of things that were supposed to help people, but they, in my humble opinion, they weren't really designed well to have, you know, people help themselves and, you know, give someone a hand and participate in their own advancement. It's more like, you know, welfare can just go on and on and on. And, you know, if you're in, you get more if you're not an intact family, which is, I know, something Bibi talks a lot about. And then at the other end, you have, you know, colleges and universities who that are just promoting this cultural relativism and neo-Marxism and all this stupid, regressive kind of thing. You talked about shame and guilt. And, you know, one of the things that I think about a little bit is how there's a difference. I remember learning in psychology, and this resonated with me, that guilt is an important part of a well-adjusted human personality. You know, we all feel guilty, or we should, if we do something wrong. We all have impulses that are selfish, and, you know, maybe they're cruel or hurtful or callous or, you know, lazy or mean. And, you know, when you fall short of your moral code, you feel guilt, and that's going to happen. That's part of our human experience, and there are ways to atone. And, you know, you hopefully you learn. You learn to apologize. Better yet, you learn to do something to make it right. But shame is something else. Shame is when you're just told that you're bad, that there's something about you. It's not that you made a bad choice or you took a bad action and you have to own up to it and take responsibility. No, it's just shame. And I actually think that shame is very toxic. I think there should be more guilt, you know, less shame, because the difference is when you shame somebody, you know, or you shame a society. And, you know, we saw this after World War II, that the world learned that part of what laid the groundwork for World War II, according to a lot of sociologists, was not to exonerate the Germans for what they did, that they were so heaped with shame, you know, after their defeat in World War I. And the world just, you know, was furious with them, understandably, and shamed them and shunned them. And that's thought to have been an ingredient in the rise of Nazism. And I see in our world today, even at these universities, I think that this whole woke thing is a cult of shame. I think it is telling certain groups of people, you know, it's not just that, you know, we can all learn to be better citizens and better neighbors, and if you say something offensive, you should have the character to apologize. I agree with that, you know, no, but this is saying no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how much you try, because of the color of your skin, because of where you grew up, you have to walk around in a state of guilt. Not because you did some particular thing or things that were offensive, but because you are a white person, let's say. So to me, that's a very kind of regressive way, a toxic way of thinking. It's a shaming. It's,
right, but Heather, you know, I would just say that thought, because we're due for another commercial break, and I want to pick that back up, okay? Because I personally think that we need to have shame. You listen to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform, and we'll be back for the last half of the show with my special co-host, Heather Robinson of the New York Post.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
So we are back with the last half of the show. And when we went to break, we were talking about abortion and IVF. And I wanted to share my thoughts on abortion because I don't think that Republicans have been able to answer that question and put it to bed so that people aren't fearful. And I think that Trump, former President Trump, and believe it or not, Nikki Haley, both have great responses whenever the question is put to them. I personally think that is an individual right. First of all, I value all life. I believe that life begins at inception. There is no in between. Now, that being said, we do know that there are some situations whereby the birth of a child could put the mother's life at risk. We also know that there's rape, there's incest. I think that the individual person has to make that determination as to how they want to proceed. I can't dictate that. I should not dictate that. I think it is up to the individual. But then I would also go back to what former President Bill Clinton had said, that abortion should be safe and few. So if it involves the life of a mother, of course, we want to protect that mother's life. I think now it has gotten to the point with these modern day Democrats is that abortion on demand. As I said, during the first two blocks of the show, you have sitting representatives that are bragging about having abortions and you should have an abortion. Everybody should have an abortion. Just like Oprah Winfrey saying, you should get a car, you get a car, you get a car. It's like everyone should have an abortion. And I don't think it should be at that level. And I think that if we were to bring back, as I said earlier on, shame, not that I'm trying to shame you, but you are ashamed of your actions as to what you have done, the act that you've done, I think that we wouldn't have the celebration of abortion. You know, as you mentioned, Heather, that a lot of women are concerned that Republicans' position on abortion. And these might be women who would never have an abortion, you know, but they want to make certain that if that they, their daughter or someone is in that situation, that that is an option. And I'm not saying an option whereby you can go on and get it on demand. I am not saying that at all, okay? Nor am I saying that it should be used as a form of birth control. I am not saying that. What I am saying is that I respect the sanctity of life. I don't want to dictate to you what you do because that's between you and your God. But I do protect the sanctity of life, and I think we should all want to protect the sanctity of life. Go ahead, Heather.
Yes, yes. I agree, Rob. I do think we should, and I think the society's become callous in many ways. I respect the pro-life position, but I also think a lot of women are spooked because with the rollback of Roe v. Wade in a lot of states, it's, you know, in the South, et cetera, it's either outlawed or banned after 6 weeks, which, you know, as Trump said, some of these girls don't even know they're pregnant by then. So you might as well just kind of ban it outright. I think that the other major constituency of people who might be increasingly concerned about this is older people trying to conceive. There are a lot more people in their 30s and 40s and, you know, trying to become parents for the first time. They have this financial security and they're, you know, able to do IVF. And one thing that's advanced a lot is prenatal testing. So they can see a lot, and there becomes a lot of difficult ethical issues because you have, you know, I personally don't believe in abortion just because something isn't perfect, if it's treatable. But I mean, you have extreme cases. I mean, I won't go into details, but, you know, there are medical anomalies, things that happen that are really incompatible with life. You know, if you know a child's going to be born with a horrible, painful disease, something like that. I mean, you know, there are cases where, you know, even I think the most absolutist pro-life person, if they have a heart, you know, they'd be hard pressed to say that, you know, someone who chooses to terminate very, very early in a situation like that, you know, is committing some horrible sin necessarily. I mean, there are, I think, you know, on the other hand, I don't think the unborn child should be dehumanized, you know. But I think we all know this is complicated, and that there are some situations where it is a legitimately very excruciating moral choice. And I guess those are the situations where I do come down on the pro-choice side, much as I don't like the term pro-choice. I think it's a euphemism. You know, I think we should all be sad, and, you know, it is very sad to end a pregnancy, you know, but I think that there may be, you know, circumstances, the ones you talk about, but also, you know, with this advanced prenatal testing, you know, if you know something's, I mean, on the other hand, I know women who, you know, knew something was wrong, but were told it would be treatable, and they went out and had their babies anyway, and their babies are fine. So, you know, it's not an easy thing. And I think the ardent pro-choice people, they want to make it out like every abortion is this excruciating choice and, you know, should be the, you know, I don't frankly agree with aborting a healthy baby, you know, well into a pregnancy. I don't think that that's humane, and I don't think it should be probably legal. But I mean, I think that somewhere in the, you know, range of compromise, there has to be some sane policy, you know, where, you know, if there's a really, you know, necessary or severe circumstance and it's early on, I mean, that said, I mean, I do think, I think Nikki Haley was talking about a 15 weeks and, you know, I think, what is that? 15 weeks is over 3 months. No, it's almost, what is it? 4, 8, 12, almost 4 months. I mean, by then, I think, frankly, if God forbid you need to do something, you can do it. You know, I don't think you need to wait, you know, unless there's some extreme medical emergency, you know, till later. I do think that that's inhumane. And, you know, but I guess the country's going to have to, you know, grapple with this and coming up with some kind of sane compromise with, you know, sensitivity. If government can manage that, maybe the best we're going to do.
Well, the next topic, Justice Sotomayor, since we're speaking about abortion, now the Democrats want her to retire. I think she's coming up on her 75th birthday. They feel that she should retire so that Joe Biden can nominate a replacement. They feel that if she retires, they might be able to bring the abortion issue back to the Supreme Court and make changes. Never mind the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg even said that she felt that this whole abortion ruling back in the 70s was the wrong thing to do. Oh, the way they categorized it. But Sonia Sotomayor, they feel that she should step down because of her age, and they feel that some people are saying that she's not in the best of health. Now, I find this interesting because the Democrats had tried this once before with Barack Obama during the last year of his term. They wanted to put Merrick Garland on the court. And of course, Mitch McConnell said, we're not going to do it, because there was an understanding that if it's during the president's last term, we would not try to nominate a Supreme Court justice. So they put him out there. He didn't get on the course. And look at what we have right now. A rogue Merrick Garland, who's over our Department of Justice. So just imagine if Democrats were to be successful in getting Sonia Sotomayor to step down. And mm-hmm. Biden came up with the nominee, but the Republicans said, we're not going to do it. That will that person be like Merrick Garland and have a sour taste in his mouth and becomes angry that he's not on the courts? Because I have to admit, Heather, Merrick Garland, mm-hmm. I mean, for everything that they said about him, that he was such a nice person and, you know, we can trust him. We can look at how he has behaved against justices that he would have been serving with. In my opinion, putting their lives at risk, not arresting these protesters that have gone to their homes. I mean, he has been just like your typical Democrat, don't care about crime, soft on crime, looks the other way. He's allowing Hunter Biden to get away with white privilege, but he wants to prosecute and persecute Donald Trump. Is this what we want? Mm-hmm. It just goes back to what I'm saying. Are Democrats fed up with this double standard? Are they fed up with these so-called Democrats who claim to be the armor bearers, who claim to be the gatekeepers of democracy, turning their back on everything that Democrats have once stood for, law and order, and now they're just saying, forget all about it, we're just going to break all the rules, we're going to do whatever we want to do. Is this the new Democrat Party? And now they're gunning after Sonia Sotomayor, wanting her to step down. What are your thoughts, Heather, these last couple of minutes?
So they want her to step down so they can get somebody in there quickly in case Trump wins. Is that the idea?
Exactly.
They want it. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's pretty understandable from their point of view, Rob. You know, I mean, Trump did one thing he did. I've always said Trump isn't as arch conservative, actually, as people think. I mean, he didn't slash every social program. He didn't, I don't know why. I mean, he was pretty liberal with those protests. I'll tell you what, he didn't call in the National Guard, which I'm not sure he shouldn't have. But the one thing he did, he didn't start any wars. I mean, he's really a populist and a very moderate in a lot of ways. But the one conservative thing he did, really conservative, was put a lot of conservative justices on the courts, which good for him, you know. And I think they're pushing back because that has really changed things. I mean, it was a big deal. It's going to influence the court for, you know, decades to come. And so, you know, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, we know what the Democrats do, and, you know, they've done a lot worse than that, in my opinion, to try to block Trump. I mean, for them to try to push her to retire, it's a little bit, it's chutzpah, you know, but I would expect nothing less from our new Democratic Party.
Well, they tried the same thing, like I said, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, wanting her to retire, and she didn't do it. So now it's like, okay, Sonia, let's get her out so that we can get someone else in. These are the same people who claim to mm-hmm. be for women's rights. They claim to want to elevate women. Now they want to get rid of a woman who's in a high position. It just shows you the contradiction mm-hmm. that exists with this Democrat Party. They don't care. It's all about them by any means necessary, anything to keep power in their hands. And they're all about power, 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 power. That's all they want. That's all they look at is power. And if they can't get it, they will try to stop anyone else by any means necessary. Well, and it just goes back to
they will try to stop. I don't know. They try to stop a lot of people, I guess, but they're, you know who, they're really, you know, morning, noon, and night gunning to stop. And his name starts with a T.
Yep.
So, you know, they'd take a rhino, maybe, but they don't want the Trumpster back in there. And I tell you what, I think there's nothing they won't do and almost nothing they haven't done. And I don't know. It'll be interesting, Rob. I mean, if somehow he wins again, they're going to be apoplectic. I mean,
well, they're going to try everything possible. Right. They're going to try everything possible to keep him from winning. I don't know. I hear people saying, well, you know, we're on to them now. What could they possibly do? Oh, we can't even begin to imagine. I mean, you look at what they're doing right now. Whoever would have thought that they would try to, I mean, openly prosecute, persecute their rival, the rivalry, their biggest opponent? Who would have ever dreamed of this? That they would have said Trump would do it, but look at what they're doing. They're doing exactly what they're accusing him of. Everything that they have accused him of, they are in fact doing. So it does not surprise me, and it will not surprise me, the lengths that they will go through to stop him, just to keep power. And if it means getting rid of Sonia, telling her to step aside so that we can put someone else in there, of course they'll do it. If it means sacrificing one of their own, of course they will do it. They don't care, as long as they can keep power. So it just goes back to what I was saying. Well, Democrats, the true Democrats, the Democrats of the Kennedy-esque years, a Democrat, even Bill Clinton, Roosevelt, are they going to stand up and say, enough is enough? We cannot continue down these lines. We cannot continue with this, oh my God, everything is racism and men can be women and vice versa, and you can do all this crazy stuff and who cares? We're going to attack Christianity, but we're going to support all these other groups. Is it so strong that they're going to say, I've had it. We're not going to do this anymore. It is time for a change. We have to stop. We have to stop the craziness. We have to bring back what makes sense. We have to get our reasonability back, because what we're doing now is a slippery slope to nowhere. We are losing our country. We're losing it. And we're turning it over to a generation that does not know how to do anything but complain and want things to be done easy for them. Are we going to turn back? Are they going to stand up, these Democrats, these true Democrats, and say, look, I don't agree with you, but you have a right to say what you say, just like I have a right to say what I say. I don't agree with you, but I'm not going to stop you. So, that's what we will see. We will see if they've had enough, Heather, come election day in November. Unfortunately, we're all out of time, but we will continue the discussion. So I hope you will join us again tomorrow night. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight was Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope that you will share the show, and we hope that you will go and talk to a Democrat and find out from them, where do you stand on the issues? Do you like what's happening? Are you going to be the change factor? Are you going to make a difference come November and do the right thing? God bless. Be safe. And as my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Thank you. Good night.